The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, now, this morning, I want to say my own special welcome to Father Tom and Doug, who are here, and Mary. And it's lovely to see them. And Father Tom and Doug, you're very, very welcome. And my admiration for the two of you, I cannot put into words of the work you do. You're absolutely wonderful.
For 20 years, the people of Holy Family have cared for the impoverished poor of Haiti. In 2001, after the successful end of Holy Family's vision project that resulted in a new school, parish hall, a remodeled St. Joseph's and youth facility, and a new pastoral center, all generously provided by the faithful Holy Family community, Monsignor Connolly urged the parish to look beyond our borders. For years, we had ministered to the poor and homeless through the Giving Bank, our sister parishes of Dolores Mission and Guadalupe, but what about the wider mission of the church? Inspired by a film produced by Carl Holtzschneider, Haiti became our mission, and we joined with Father Zuki and Gabriel Malwar of Father Bonin's Little Schools. Haiti, only 700 miles from Miami, is the poorest country in the Americas and one of the poorest in the world. Crushing poverty, poor infrastructure, a corrupt government, and minimal accessible health care forces those living on the margins to struggle daily in order to survive. 3/4 of the population live on less than $2 a day. More than half of the population is malnourished. The infant mortality rate is staggering. The garbage is piled high. The roads are atrocious. Hunger is omnipresent. violence is always around the corner. Life in Haiti is precarious and unstable. Despite it all, through Father Bonin's little schools, Holy Family parishioners witnessed unbelievable perseverance. As delegates began to travel there, we visited the classrooms, met with the locals. We saw students, we heard music, we met young people at technical schools. We brought the news to our families and friends. The slum of Cité Soleil and the devastation wrought upon children enlightened our consciences and challenged our resources. What more could we do? The need for school supplies, food and equipment not obtainable in Haiti was tremendous. We began to fill sea containers and send them. We taught our school children about life in Haiti, and they learned of the joys of giving. Our parish was engaged. Our relationship with little schools eventually led us to Father Tom Hagen and Hands Together. Their operation consisted of more schools, medical clinics, an agricultural center, feeding programs for the elderly, and a radio station. Projects included constructing water wells and dignity centers. Community education included the formation of cooperative business ventures with Haitians working and running their own businesses. The Hands Together Friendship Partnership included missionaries of charity, and with them we attended Mass, met orphans they care for, and visited the sick and dying. Our annual trips to Haiti continued, and with each trip, more insights was realized by new delegates, more compassion was nourished, and more gratitude for the people of Haiti was shared with our parishioners who continue to support the efforts of Mission Haiti. We assisted with the creation of a soccer field that formed into a gathering place for locals, including opposing gang members, a place where people could be safe and be able to enjoy themselves. Seeking to expand our audience, we began to speak to our communities. Local Rotarians got involved and helped with the planting of a mango orchard. We spoke in other parishes. We founded a Haiti sewing committee. We assisted our mission co-op appeals. We attended Religious Ed Congress. Our goal was to always teach others about our obligation to assist the poor and to share that the teachings received by us from our Haiti friends are a gift. Through the years, we have witnessed great hardships and experienced great sadness. Natural disasters such as hurricanes and earthquakes, the tragic deaths of staff members from violence, the pandemic, the assassination. We have marveled at how the people react to these crises. It is impossible for us to comprehend. And yet, we witness that after tragedy, the Haitians do not fall into despair. Somehow they pick themselves up, find a reason to smile, and keep going. We have also witnessed acts that seem like miracles, food distributions, a water truck, dancing, training, farmers, expansion, peace treaties, student government, and the power of fellowship. We have returned year after year, seen children grow and graduate from high school, and some continue on to college with scholarships that you have supplied. The possibilities and efforts for improvements never cease. The garbage, however, is still piled high. The roads are treacherous. Hunger is a part of life. Violence is always prevalent. In Haiti, life remains difficult, but Father Tom, just like his people, will not give up. The Haitian proverb, "Beyond the mountain is another mountain," is appropriate for Mission Haiti. The challenges to support the people will always be there, but we will climb one mountain at a time. We too at Holy Family will not give up. We are hopeful and we are determined. To quote our friend Jerry Straub, who also lives in Haiti, "You too are called to be a prophet of hope, to help the sun rise every day. Take a deep breath, say a prayer, and just do it. You can make possible the impossible." This video is dedicated to two dear friends who passed away this year. Without the inspiration of Carl Holtzschneider and the quiet support of Frank Panette, our mission would not be what it is today.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everybody. Hi, Father Dennis. Boy, I just really miss Carl Holstein and Frank. Carl was just such a prolific and such a dedicated person. I would talk to him so often. He did so much for us, so I just miss him, you know, just miss him. I'm sitting in the back of a Land Rover with Father Tom, and we're bouncing down the road on our way to the slums. We've been involved in a lot of work that's not usually our work in the months previous to this, doing a lot of conflict resolution, peace work, because of such great violence, literally war between two kind of major opposing factions in the slums where we have our projects. We enter in a place called Boston, which is the top of the slum area, with the group that is in Boston is opposed to the place where I'm going, because there are seven soldiers, if you call them that have been terribly wounded with gunshot wounds, and they've been without medical help for 2 days. And so I got our doctor and I found a couple of surgeons, and we're going in to try to bring help to these young men who are suffering from gunshot wounds. As I go through Boston, there's no people anywhere, a place that's usually swimming like an ocean, a sea of human beings. Everybody's inside and they're afraid, and they have very little to eat, and they can't leave their building. They don't want to get shot. Up in the high buildings on the top floors, you see the snipers. We pass through Boston, and we go to about the halfway point, and there's this giant mural of Gandhi. It's an enormous mural of Gandhi. And ironically, the mural is riddled with bullet holes all through his face and everything. Gandhi. Now we begin to go into the area where these wounded people are. And we turn into a side street, and in a small little hut, no greater than 8 by 10 feet, there's four different huts that have seven people in there. And I could smell the infection. I could smell the gangrenous stench and hear the moans of the people. And the different soldiers that are usually kind of, you know, there's a little bantering between us usually when we see each other. There's none of that now. It's all business. And they're strained. They're barking orders. They look exhausted. They're yelling at the people. There's guns everywhere. They're barking orders at me and Father Tom. So we get these people off the ground somehow with their femurs have been shattered from bullet wounds. We put them in our vehicles, and we drive about a quarter of a mile to a hospital that had been shut down, and we break the gate open. We drive in, and we go in, and we try, and they begin to try to open up the operating room. And while they're doing that, I grabbed a 100-pound drum, and I went into the city, and I bought diesel gasoline to start the large generator. And all through the afternoon and through the night, the surgical team that we found would work on these gang members who had been so terribly injured. And thankfully, we saved their lives and saved them from losing their legs and one guy his arm. It's just such a different thing than what we started out with when we started working there. Such a different thing than opening up a preschool, you know, and giving out coloring books. The next day, the gang leader on the opposing side, the ones who shot these fellas, wants to see us, and it's not a request. It's not a request. And so I get in the Jeep again, and I'm like, oh, man. And I know this is going to be a tough meeting. I know it's going to be a really tough meeting. And boy, was I ever right. And so we're driving down there, Tom and I again, and I'm filled with apprehension, anxiety, enormous distaste for where I'm going, a real serious feeling of just rejection. I didn't want to do it, is what I'm trying to say to you. I didn't want to go there. I'd had enough. And we pull in, and we walk in the back, like our little benches, and we sit there. And there he is, the gang leader. He's got a half gallon of rum in his hand. He's got a pistol in his waistband. He's sweating. And I looked in his eyes, and I've seen his eyes like that before. He's in one of his rages. He's in one of his crazy rages. And as soon as I sat down, he just launches into me. How can you help those guys? They're our enemy. They're shooting us. You know, we didn't do anything. We're innocent. And, you know, and I just said, we don't pick and choose when it comes to wounded people who we help. And he went on, and I thought he was finished. And I was very, very uncomfortable, and I really wanted to get out of there. There's something not right about this meeting. I just didn't like it. I was afraid, I guess what I'm trying to say to you, I was afraid. And I get up to leave, and he loses it. He pushes me, and I scream at the top of his lungs. He's got his hand on his gun. He says, I didn't say you could leave yet. That's bad manners, trying to leave before I'm done with you. And if you try to leave, I'm going to burn you in your car and burn you in it. And I was trying to process the bad manners thing, thinking, here's a guy with a gun in his hand and drinking a half gallon of rum, and he's screaming at me and pushing me around, and he's telling me about bad manners. And I said, maybe is this how it's going to end? I mean, I never thought it would end like this. And I really thought it was going to happen. I said, even if, you know, I don't think he's going to let us go this time. Obviously, I'm here. He let us go. I can't begin to explain to you what a toll that takes on the children and the families that live there to be under this type of strain and the fear for this guy going crazy or just to start shooting and the reckless killing. I think what I'm trying to say to you is that when you work with the poor, it comes in all shapes. It comes in, it's not always what we think it is. But that certainly is working with the poor. It comes with it. And one of the things I think we all have to do, and when we're faced in moments like this, and we all have them, we all have these moments in our life when whatever we're facing is just simply too big for us, and it's overwhelming, and there's no way out of it. And the only possible solution is to turn to God. And there's a solution for every problem if we turn to God. And I'm sitting there and I'm asking myself that really special question that we're all supposed to ask ourselves, and that is this the thing that God has willed for me at this moment? And despite all my rationalizations, I had to say, yes, it is. I don't know why. It's a mystery. But it was necessary. We are all responsible for what happens to one another. And I had a responsibility that day to do something. And that's why I'm just so proud to be a Catholic. I'm so grateful for this church of ours. I'm so grateful for the answers it gives us to those questions or those problems that we just can't figure how we're going to deal with them. And that beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's a Father and a Son who loves us infinitely. And we just don't have to worry. What's the worst that could happen to me? And so I sat there and I just grabbed a hold of our faith and said, Lord, help me through this. And you know what? He was with me every step of the way, as he's with you. It's been a tough time down there. And I know you know this. And it's also a real gift to be linked to you, this parish, and all of you. Don't think that you're not thought of by myself and many others a lot. And just after that horrible incident where I got out of there, you know, the container from you guys pulls in and all this food and pianos. And I said, there's a little bit of light after the darkness. And so we love you and we thank you for your help. We're going to stick with it because it's the thing that God has willed for us here. And we appreciate all that you do for us. And so thank you very much. And God bless you. Tom, come on up.
Well, it's nice to be here. It really is. I feel like I'm coming home. My fellow missionaries, I left Haiti just the other day. I go back to Haiti this week. So I bring you greetings from the people of Haiti. But as I look out at you now, I remember the first time I met you was about a month after Monsignor Connolly and Carl Holzschneider came down to Haiti to see me. And I remember the Monsignor looking at me and saying, I want my parish of Holy Family not just to touch South Pasadena, but to touch every person in this world. And I remember how impressed I was by that. And he invited me to come here. And I can remember standing here in this pulpit saying to you, my fellow missionaries, today I have a little sadness in me. Because whenever I came here, I used to look up into the choir loft and see Carl there. And today he's probably, you know, I shouldn't be sad because he's in heaven smiling down at us. And probably saying, that video wasn't too bad. You know, I could have done better, but it wasn't bad. But my fellow missionaries, I called you missionaries then, and I call you missionaries now more than ever. You got to believe that each and every one of us is a missionary. It's not, you don't have to go to Africa or Latin America or Haiti where I am. The day we were born, the day we were baptized, Almighty God gave to each and every one of us a sacred mission. And our newest saint, St. John Cardinal Newman, says that every human being has a unique mission. Each of us has a mission just for us. And we may not know totally what our mission will be, but we'll know it in our afterlife. But what we do know has something to do with building a better world. It has something to do with embracing the bond of love that binds us all together. We're living in a time now which is very toxic, where there's a great deal of divisiveness and fragmentation. We're living in a time where we judge people by their category. You know, what political party are you? What's this? What's your persuasion? What's your orientation? What's your nationality? What's your religion? Our Lord Jesus shattered all categories. Our Lord Jesus looked at every human being and saw that they were loved and had value. My fellow missionaries, that is our mission. One of the most beautiful thoughts is, as someone once shared, that the most sacred space next to the tabernacle is the person closest to us. That's our mission, to recognize the Jesus right next to us, wherever we may be. My fellow missionaries, a lot has happened since those years ago when Monsignor Connolly came to Haiti. Because of you now, we have 15 free schools. We didn't have that many schools then. And in Haiti, they don't have public schools. We're the only free schools because of you. Because of you, we now are able to open up 3 more clinics, thanks to you. Because of you, we're able to feed at times over 200,000 people, thanks to you. Because of you, we now are helping 1,700 elderly every day. Because of you, we now have over 400 water wells that brings 720,000 people get fresh water every day. So I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you've done for my people in Haiti, because they're your people too. And I just want to say to you, though, and this is where I hope I don't offend anybody, but the truth is, I'm going to ask you to do something far more than make a donation. If you don't make a donation, financial donation to our project in Haiti, I don't want to be disrespectful. It's not going to make much difference to me. What I'm asking you to do is something far more. What I'm asking you to do is to embrace the mission that our Lord God has given to each and every one of you. Someone once said, a mission by itself is pure drudgery. A dream by itself is pure nonsense, but a dream and a mission together is the hope of the world. Our mission is to make Jesus real in this world. Our mission is to affirm and validate that bond of love that binds us all together. Our mission is to live the Eucharist. Our mission is to make this Eucharist right here touch every person in the world. How do we do that? By realizing the person next to us is the visible Jesus in our life. Every morning, I celebrate Mass for Mother Teresa's nuns in Haiti. When I'm taking my vestments off, I can hear them praying. And what they pray is, they say, Lord God, Help us today to see you in the disguise of the poor. Help us to see you in that disguise that's not comfortable to us, that's not attractive. Help us to be able to recognize you there. And see, my good fellow missionaries, that is our mission as well. And so I beg you, please, more important than giving any type of financial donation, at this very Mass, please say, Lord Jesus, help me to carry out the mission you've given to me. Help me to recognize you, Jesus, in that person next to me. Help me to work with you to build a better world. It's going to be hard. It could be drudgery. And that's my point, my fellow missionaries. You need this parish. This parish will help you to bring the dream and the mission together. Your parish of Holy Family makes me proud of being a Roman Catholic. Thank you. Thank you for the witness that you give. And I beg you, please, never abandon this parish. Never abandon your Catholic faith. And above all, never turn your back on Jesus. He's our best friend and our constant companion, and he never turns his back on us. And so, my fellow missionaries, I go back to Haiti as well as Doug in just a few days. It's not easy, I'll be honest with you. It's been very, very hard. We can't open our schools because of the violence. We had lost three children just a short time ago. I try to have our church open. On the Feast of St. Anne's, they wanted a little procession. Three people were killed in that procession. But please, we're going to try to open them up maybe in 2 weeks. Pray that we can. But my fellow missionaries, everything's been tough down there. But you know what makes me going back? It's wonderful people like you here. And what a great priest you have right here. And he's a good soccer player, too. Did you know that? He really is. He is. Cheats a little bit, but he's good, you know? And you got wonderful priests here. And boy, what a great man our new pastor is. And, you know, he's another Clem. So you're gifted. But my good friends, thank you for being who you are. Thank you, God, for this wonderful parish of Holy Family. God bless you and God love you.
Good morning. It's nice to see all of you. It's nice to be back. My name is Mary Nally, and my job is to plead. Father Tom asks us to pray, but I'm here standing before you to say that financial donations really do make a difference. As you've heard, the needs in Haiti are tremendous. I so appreciate Doug's words that really make me pause. It makes me frightened for him and for all those children who live in these places. And Tom just always brings me back to God and to our mission. Our ability to speak before you through the pandemic has been non-existent. We try to write articles for the bulletin and we try to keep you informed, but our efforts have been greatly diminished. So our bank account is also diminished. Over 30 years ago, Father Tom and Doug heard the cry of the poor in Haiti, and I ask you to pause and close your eyes and hear the cry of the poor in Haiti today as we gather together at Holy Family Church. These are really unprecedented times in Haiti, the pandemic, the recent hurricane, the earthquake just prior to the hurricane. It goes on and on and on. Thousands of people were killed. Tens of thousands are left homeless, still struggling today to find a place to live. Hands Together is the one and only constant in Cité Soleil. As mentioned, is the only water and food that can be taken into that slum where people are starving. So I hope you received a brochure in the mail. If not, they're more in the pews. There's kind of a mishmash I've noticed of old and new because we never want to print too many because it costs money. If you have this at home and wish to send in a donation, please do so. collect one in the pews today if you'd like. Those of you who are watching at home today, and I know that's so many members of our parishioners are at home watching, you could do the same if you have the brochure or go to the website. You can pay. We'll accept anything. We'll accept cash. We'll accept checks. We'll accept credit card numbers. I ask you to gather with your family and pray about this mission and decide what might be appropriate for you. Remember that $5 fills that gigantic water truck. That's all it takes. I wonder about how much food we can put on that sea container with a $500 check. $5,000, you can only imagine. So we'll be continuing to work hard this year to bring you news of Haiti. I too miss Carl and Frank. I miss their inspiration. I miss Carl helping write a lot of those articles, so I'm frantically trying to keep you informed about what's going on with these two guys. And ultimately, I ask you to pray in earnest for Father Tom and Doug, for their safety and their support of all these people. And God bless you. It's just such a blessing to be here and to see all of you. Thank you. Thank you, Father Dennis. Amen.